The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here. Already Bruce Feldman has dropped by. We'll talk to Mark Bryant Tyson here in a few minutes. And let's get back to the calls and speak next to Jeff, who is in Oakland. Hey, Jeff. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. So, Paul, I'm a huge fan of Saban and trust his judgment. But I have to say I'm second-guessing the possible hiring of Bill O'Brien as the OC. This is the first, you know, the transformation where things have gone have been dramatic in that Saban and Alabama have won primarily with an offensive squad first national championship. And it's not a surprise that Sarkisian moved on to bigger, another job. He's been rehabilitated by Saban U. But if I'm looking at qualities for an OC, I don't see, here are the four ones that I'm most particular to: somebody who's a good, really good communicator, a teacher, a recruiter, and somebody who can offer some stability to the program. Because one of the things that marks Saban's reign most dramatically is his ability to transition, because he's lost staff. And so this past year, with a number one recruiting season pretty much in hand, you know, people like Jeff Banks and Charles Huff have been instrumental in recruiting Texas. And that's an important pool of potential football players. And so I look at it, this hire, and I say, if he gets rehabilitated through Saban's discipline, Saban's programmatic approach, you know, he's gone and we've got a transition and we have a chance to lose some very effective positional coaches. And I was looking at other people. I just want to give you a quick list of five to get your take. You know, Saban's going to do what Saban's going to do. But Phil Longo, who's had success at North Carolina, is an older coach, probably not going to be a head coach in the future. He might have been, in my opinion, a good hire. Hugh Freeze, who I listened to on the ESPN broadcast, I thought was...
Yeah, well, Jeff, let me jump in. Hugh Freeze is a head coach now, making millions of dollars a year. So I don't think he's going to leave a head coaching position where he just got extended to be in a... But anyway, keep going.
Well, Tom Herman, who has the advantage of being incredibly cheap because he's got all this buyout money, sure. So he can take almost analyst money till he's rehabilitated. Somebody like Graham Harrell as well. Or promote from within and kind of see whether Charles Huff is up to snuff, up to the task, and has the potential to have greater continuity. You know, somebody who's obviously, I think, a better communicator than somebody who's older and who's kind of come through his own problems.
But Jeff, remember something very important, okay? You make a lot of very interesting and compelling points, but this is Nick Saban making the decision, not you or me. And you know the first call he made before he made the call to Bill O'Brien, it was to Bill Belichick. And when that call was over, Nick Saban felt, I'm guessing, very comfortable with making the next call, and that was to invite O'Brien into town last week just to observe. And he maybe it's, hey, I don't know what it is, because I haven't spoken to Nick Saban about Bill O'Brien, but you know, this is a coordinator position. This is not a head coaching position. I appreciate your thoughts. I mean, there are really some very good ones, but this is Nick Saban's choice. Josh is up next in North Carolina. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Paul.
Great to have you on.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
I was calling to ask about Pruitt's destiny next year, with him likely going to be out at Tennessee. Will Philip Fulmer have a role in hiring the next coach, or will he be gone as AD too?
Josh, I'm just guessing now because I really don't know any more than you do, but my guess is that Philip Fulmer will be involved.
He will be involved, so he'll stay AD.
I don't know why you would make a change with your AD. To me, I'm a fan of Philip Fulmer. I thought he should have gotten that job a long time ago. And had he gotten the job instead of John Curry, I don't think Tennessee would be in this mess. Philip Fulmer, you can argue about the extension, but ADs are always a little bit blind when it comes to trying to help coaches in recruiting, but he had no choice. Curry had wrecked that coaching search already after firing Butch Jones, and Phillip was just trying to clean up the mess.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Paul.
Good to have you. Thank you very much. That is the story right now that everyone is watching. Mark is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, is this Paul?
Yes, it is. Thank you. Great to have you on.
Hey, Paul. It's good to talk to you, and thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I just want to say that Nick Saban is a rock star, and I want to congratulate him on his win of the Bear Bryant Award last night, and he was well-deserved, and you did a great job covering the Crimson Tide this year and all college football, and thank God we had a season. I don't know what I would have done without, but you were there for us. You covered everything real well, and you did a great job. You're really a testament to your trade. You are great, and I just wanted to say that, and I'll turn off here and listen to your call.
Mark, thank you for saying that, Mark. I keep saying this. This season has been unlike any other. I have never enjoyed doing what we've all done more. It's been the most rewarding season, and I've had a few, to say the least. Anyone who just got through watching that piece about me covering Coach Bryant, but it's been an amazing experience, and I thank all of you for participating in the process. Let's take a break here. We want to make sure we have enough time for our next guest, who is Mark Bryant Tyson. You can figure out the middle name. He is Coach Bryant's grandson, and we have a lot to talk to him about right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. Every year after the season, the Paul Bryant Award is given out in Houston, Texas. It is one of the most prestigious awards of the year. And last night, our next guest awarded it as the grandson of the legendary Coach Bryant to the current coach at the University of Alabama, who just so happens to be the coach of his youngest son, Paul Tyson, who's a quarterback on the Alabama team. A lot of interesting storylines here as we say hello to Mark Bryant Tyson. Mark, it's so great to have you on, and what an amazing experience you must be going through with your son, now a national champion. You were a quarterback yourself back in the day. Thanks for being here, and tell us what it must have been like last night for you to make the presentation to Nick Saban.
Well, thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on. It's been an emotional year, just for everyone. You know, I'll kind of repeat a little bit what I said last night. it's kind of impossible to describe what these coaches, and I told all the coaches last night in a Zoom, of course, this year, of what their families have gone through this year. You know, as you mentioned, my son is on the team, so I know what they went through. And not just the players, but these coaches, they got tested five times a week, starting in July. They had to stay away from family and friends. And, you know, I said, why did these coaches do this? You know, the coaches did it and committed to play for one reason, and it was for the players. And, you know, I want to just use this time to thank all the coaches. They could have said no to the season, but they stood up for the players and said, let's play. And to, you know, all the high school and the college coaches, you know, from our family, we thank you for this season. And then for last night, how fitting for Coach Saban, in the toughest year in college football history, for him to go undefeated, and then for the last award of the year to win the Coach of the Year award. It was an incredible night, and just to imagine what he's done. People don't realize to look at Coach Saban for this year. He didn't even email. And for him to adjust to run practice from at home from the week of the LSU and Auburn game and to miss the Auburn game and to not even miss a beat was unreal. I don't even know what to say. It was an unreal season, an unreal moment last night. And then, I have to say, you know, I want to congratulate Coach Saban on passing my grandfather's record. You know, that was exciting. And the shocking thing and the kind of ironic part is this season I've been attended 10 national championship games that Alabama's won. Three of my grandfathers won in 92 with Coach Stallings and all six of Coach Saban's. And this is by far my favorite because my son was on the team. So, anyway, what a night.
Well, and I don't want to act like I don't know Mark. I do. And I have had the honor of being at this banquet a couple of times. And Mark, it's an amazing event. And I can't wait for it to be back into normal next year because it is a celebration. And not only of the season, but of your grandfather. And I know this sounds like a pedestrian question, but what I hate to ask you, what was it like being Paul Bryant's grandson? But I have to, because it had to be one of the neatest childhoods anybody could ever have.
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting. I mean, I viewed him as a grandfather. I mean, I grew up with him, and I was actually in school at Alabama when he died. But I would sit on the sidelines and walk across midfield, and he would shake the other coach's hand and he'd put his arm around me and we'd walk off the field. And it was just, you know, it just was not that big a deal. And I had friends of mine that would kind of go to practice and they wouldn't act like it was a big a deal. But years later, they would say, you know, that was really cool. We didn't want to tell you at the time, but it, you know, it was a fun childhood, but it was just really, you know, he was a pretty good football coach, but he was a better grandfather.
Well, I know that because we've had conversations about him, and I think, you know, younger people only know him from the documentaries, but to know him in the unique way that you did is pretty extraordinary. I'm sure by now, Mark, you've heard that all of these conversations, and you know it's somewhat unfortunate to subject any of us, whether it's me who barely knew your grandfather, but I was around him, to and others who have never weren't even alive when he reigned, to try to compare and contrast. But I would like you to address that, because it's become one of these catch questions that we have now in today's society, because you have lived through both eras quite well.
Yeah, well, you know, people ask me a lot, or how are they similar? And to me, is as a grandson, seeing your grandfather wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to practice, and the commitment he had and how hard he worked and how much he loved his players. And I see that similarity obviously in Coach Saban. Nobody outworks him. I mean, he works, you know, maybe he'll hit a golf ball every now and then, and that was similar to my grandfather. And I'm sure he's a much better golfer, because my grandfather was really not a very good golfer. But you know, they both worked so hard, and you know, they loved what they did. And I think that's the biggest similarity between the two.
It was always said by the assistant coaches who worked for your grandfather that in some ways he coached the assistants. And I think that's not really giving him his due, but Pat Dye told me once that he was so intimidated to disappoint Coach Bryant that he worked doubly hard. And if he heard Coach Bryant was going to be at the office at 5 o'clock, he would be there at 4:30. And you know, it's not dissimilar with Coach Saban, is it?
No, I agree. I mean, you know, again, nobody outworks Coach Saban. And you know, Coach Stallings gave my grandfather, I thought, the biggest compliment. And when he said, I went, well, that's interesting comment. But he said, the difference or the secret of Papa is, for whatever reason, because he worked hard, that everybody wanted to please him. And, you know, the coaches, the players. And I just thought, Coach Stallings, that was a pretty unique way of looking at it. And I see the exact same similarities in Coach Saban.
As you let's talk a little bit about being the father of a player, and you know, your son was an unbelievable high school quarterback and is still projected. We talked to Stephen M. Smith before the season, and he was extolling your son with an extraordinary praise, especially about how he projects. How is it, you know, having played that position, having dealt with who your grandfather was, now to have been a father in high school, watching your son who played for a great team, and now to see him at the University of Alabama?
Yeah, it's emotional. But for one, he was a whole lot better than I was. We'll get that.
Well,
straight.
I vaguely remember your career, but I didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah. I played for Coach McCracken, who was a great player at Auburn in Montgomery. But Paul. It's been a lot of fun, kind of surreal this year, you know, to win a national championship and be there with Coach Saban on the sideline. You know, he was the third string quarterback this year and as a redshirt freshman, and he's looking forward to winning a few more with Coach Saban. You know, everybody, and, you know, the question you were kind of, and I'm not going to dodge the question on, who do you think's the best coach and all that. And I'll just say, you know, it's kind of an obvious answer, but I'll kind of answer it in two ways. And one is, you know, when you have your son and he's choosing where he's going to college, and, you know, our whole family supported Paul's decision, and it was his decision to go play for Coach Saban, and he could have gone to Notre Dame, USC, Michigan, LSU, but he chose to play for Coach Saban. Who we thought and know is the best coach. And if you look back in history, and, you know, to not dodge the question, is, you know, he's won 6 titles in 12 years. This is by far the greatest run in college football history. And then the fact of the coaching changes that he's had, he's won it with 6 offensive coordinators. You know, I mean, that's unbelievable. And he's lost 7 or 8 people off his staff every year, and he just continues to win. And to then top it off this year, being the coach of the year in the hardest year ever in college football, you know, I would just kind of say, and to a similar answer that Papa said after beating Ohio State and Woody Hayes, when he was kind of asked, well, who's a great coach or whatever, you know, I'll say that Coach Saban is the GOAT of all time, but Papa wasn't bad himself.
This is, I'm curious because there aren't many people that can answer this question. And I remember, Mark, when your grandfather retired, I was writing the lead story for the local Birmingham paper, and it was Paul William Bryant Jr., the greatest coach in college football history, announced his retirement today. What do you think your grandfather would have thought about what we are currently witnessing at Alabama?
I mean, I don't think anybody expected a run like this with the scholarship limits. You know, you talk about it a lot, but with the restriction of 25, what Coach Saban has done with people leaving after 3 years, I mean, people don't even think about that. You know, the turnover in players, their turnover in coaches. I hate to scare the rest of the SEC, but, you know, this is Coach Saban's defense. This is also Coach Saban's offense. I mean, he's learned from all the great coaches that he brings in, and it's this is going to continue for a while.
Mark, I know you don't talk about this subject very often, and it gives you great pleasure, but we deeply appreciate you coming on today, and all the best to you and your family, and especially your son, who's got a really great career ahead of him.
Well, I've said this many times, that I appreciate the press and the fans. What really, you know, made Papa who he is and what made Alabama is the support of the fans of Alabama and of the sports writers and everybody that support the University of Alabama. And, you know, people can argue about who's the best coach and the best tradition and all that, but I don't think there's any argument of Alabama being the best team.
There is none. Mark Bryant Tyson, we appreciate your time so very much. All the best. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Take care.
You got it. What a fantastic conversation. For someone who does not do this very often, I frankly don't know, think I've ever heard Mark talk about this publicly. It is amazing to have this conversation. We're heading to a break. We appreciate your time. And we will get to more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, we welcome you back. It's great to have you with us. Appreciate Mark Tyson joining us and Bruce Feldman. More guests to come and more of your phone calls. And let's do that right now as we say hello to Dave in Norman, Oklahoma. Hey, Dave.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Hi, Paul. What a joy it is to listen to your program. I'm calling from Oklahoma. I've been an Alabama fan since the mid-60s. I've seen Paul Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. I agree that Saban has surpassed Bear Bryant in the stature of greatness. He is a man of strong character, too, Paul. Last year, my grandson, who's a big Alabama fan, was ill in Oklahoma City and had a lot of pain. And we reached out to Coach Saban, and he responded with an autographed football.
Oh, wow.
A team football that he signed personally. And I just think these are the glory days of Alabama fandom. And I'm just so grateful for the success of the program and the inspiration that they bring not only to adults but to young kids.
No, I'm so glad to hear that. It's unimaginable how many requests people like that get, and to fulfill them.
Yeah.
And you know better than most how it can change someone's life to receive anything from a person like that.
It sure does, and it reveals a lot of character, and I have the utmost respect for Coach Saban. And I was just thinking, Paul, real quick, I know you got a lot, some other callers. Do you think down the road that Dabo Swinney would succeed Coach Saban when that time comes, or do you think that's improbable?
I think it's unlikely, Dave. I think okay. There maybe at one time, mm-hmm. but Dabo's built such a kingdom for himself.
Sure.
And I also think he'd have to really agonize over that decision. I talked to him once mm-hmm. about it. We were in Alabama together at an event, and
sure.
You could tell how he was being inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, and it really got to him. And at that moment, I thought maybe...
Yes.
But he won another championship after that, and I think he realizes he's better off where he is than to try to replicate Saban. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. How about Pamela up next? Hey, Pamela.
Hey.
Hi there. How are you?
Paul?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Hi. Listen, I won't keep you, but long time no talk.
I used to talk with you when you were in Birmingham. And first of all, I just want to say a congratulation on all of your success.
Thank you very much.
And I want to say to you that I think it is amazing that the man has just won his sixth national title at Alabama, and the Alabama fans are already hand-wringing over who they're going to bring in for offensive coordinator. And here is my point that I want to say, and you heard it in the interview, and by the way, Paul, I want to say this to you, and I'm going to keep this short because I want to keep it moving along. You are one of the greatest interviewers because one of the things that you do is that you know how to ask a great question, and then you know how to sit back and you know how to listen, and you can draw this out. But one of the things that Bear Bryant's grandson said was that he is a teacher. Coach Saban is a teacher. But he also said something else. He learns from who he brings in. And he said that that is his defense and that that is his offense. So he learns everything he can from every single person that he has ever brought in. And he takes it in. So he will get from them as much as they're willing to give. And he will teach them his process. But he will only give them as much of his process as he wants them to know. He doesn't give them it all. Do you understand?
I do.
So his mentor is Belichick. But you see, he's not going to give them all of his process. He'll take everything from him, from all of those people. He'll take it all. But he's not going to give them all of what he knows. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. That's always the line you hear. And it's very accurate. Pamela, thank you. It's a great pleasure to talk to you again. And be well. Let's check in with Jeff, who is in Florida. Hey, Jeff, welcome.
Hey, Jeff. Oh, how you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Listen, I called about the Alabama coaches. You know, I heard not too while back ago that losing our strength coach was going to be the downfall of us. And, we keep losing, but we keep winning. What's the deal?
It's called success. And you're right, Jeff. We all made a big deal about Cochran leaving, and it looked like Alabama got better.
Yes, exactly. And I, by the way, I'm from Alabama. My home's in Alabama. I remember when you was writing for the Post-Herald. I was a young man with you.
A couple of years ago.
And it came a long way.
Well, we have. It's been quite a journey, and I'm really glad you checked in with us. Thank you. Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mr. Paul Fowler. How are you doing today, my friend?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I want to give you some good news. I want to talk about with that COVID test you want to know about.
Yeah, how'd it go?
I am not positive at all.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic.
Well, I want to talk to you about the college football recruiting and playoffs. You want to talk about taking football and basketball. Paul, I heard an article on your show about they won't put a cap on recruiting because Nick Saban's getting all these five-star recruits. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. Yes, it would help schools like my school, Texas A&M, and all the little schools out. But, Paul, I have little faith in NCAA's going to pass something like that. I mean, look how inept they are when it came to the Baylor situation, Paul. And I just have no faith in them they're going to do something like that. And I want to...
Yeah, Matt, I think it's highly unlikely that it will never happen, more than highly unlikely. It's impossible to happen. Hey, glad to hear the good news with you. Thank you very much. We are heading to a break. Appreciate it. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. Already a busy program with Bruce Feldman and Mark Tyson, the grandson of Coach Bryant. His son is on the Alabama team. We are back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. As we continue, a statue of Asia Wilson going up at the University of South Carolina. Very appropriate, to say the least. How about Cliff up next in Kentucky? Hey, Cliff. Cliff, you there?
Hey, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call. First time. I just had a couple points. One is, did Buckeye Joe ever get back to you?
Buckeye Earl is MIA, as expected.
Earl, Joe, Slow, whatever he is. Here's my thing. He probably gave himself the old nickname, which that just shows the kind of person he is. But, I mean, you can't just call yourself Buckeye something and then not come back and, you know, just re-watch yourself. So that's sort of embarrassing on his point. He said he's going to call regardless, but he didn't. So my second point is you had a caller one time talking about how embarrassing it was at Florida. You know, they made an excuse they lost to Alabama about not, you know, they couldn't have all the starters. And then they made the point, well, UK didn't complain when, well, UK knew they were going to lose. If you know you're going to lose and you're not going to compete, why would you complain anyway? So, you know, I don't know. That was probably a week or so ago. But that was my 2 points. So, hey, look out, Joe. Stop calling him. Look out.
Thank you very much. Tom is up next in North Carolina. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Paul, I'll just comment on a comment about somebody, I believe, saying they were getting bored with winning. Paul, I started ushering for Alabama as a kid back in 1963 and have been a sometimes long-suffering fan ever since. And we've had a lot of good times. We've had a lot of dry times. And until from when I retired from the Army, we lived in East Tennessee from the mid-90s through to early 2000s. And that was not a good time. Anyway, it's I'm always nervous when the kickoff goes because I was in the stadium for Punt Bama Punt. You can tell your listeners what that means.
Right.
But it is never a bad day. It is never boring to watch Bama roll. And if Bama gets out ahead a lot, then fine. You start seeing the second and third string coming out and watching the future get ready. So it's always good. Paul, take care for now. Have a great one.
Really great to hear from you. Thank you so much. Paul is up next in Texas. Hey, Paul, good afternoon. Try again. Let's check in with, how about Michael in Chattanooga? Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great.
Real quick, the conversation about restricting recruiting geographically is so ludicrous it doesn't deserve conversation.
Correct.
Mark Tyson made a comment toward the end of your fabulous interview, by the way, is do you realize this last class, and I'm not an Alabama fan, but I'm in awe of what Alabama's done since Saban's been there. That 17 class was so incredible. But, Paul, have they not had the number one or number two class in 18, 19, and 20? And everybody's saying the dynasty was over when Kirby left and when Kiffin left, whatever. They're not going anywhere anytime soon, are they?
No. And, you know, listen, when a team loses, I think the reason that conversation was driven by Kirby had something to do with it. Jimbo Fisher, all the acolytes out there. And then, you know, Saban's age was working against him briefly, and then he changed his philosophy. It may have cost him a national championship 2 years ago, but it gained him one this year.
I don't think there's any question. And Kiffin's head wasn't in the right place that week. You don't just tell him to move on down the road 5 days before the national championship game. And we still came within a play. We beat Alabama,
right,
winning the game. So it's just unbelievable what he's done. And I think any college football fan should be in awe. You can be jealous, you can be a hater, or you can enjoy it, but it's unbelievable.
Thank you very, very much for the call. D is up next. Hey, D, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul, long time no talk.
Hey there.
I'm calling you because I have two questions, and before I draw my conclusion on something, I want to get your opinion. As far as the college football ratings, do you think a lot of it has to do with, and I'm not trying to say this in a negative way, with a lot of new blood or immigrants coming into the United States, and a lot of those people, their first game is soccer. So do you think that soccer is pulling some of the viewership or why the interest is not like it used to? And my other part of the question is, what do you think that a lot of these games, was the national game only on cable or was it on just regular TV?
It was only on ESPN. Now, the game has been on ESPN for about 10 years. It used to be on ABC. I understand where you're coming from on that, but I don't think that's significant because the ratings 6 years ago on the same network in a bad game, it wasn't even close, were double what we had. I think the reason the ratings have dropped has more to do with the NFL. I think there were six NFL games on Saturday and Sunday combined, including Saturday and Sunday night. And I think by Monday, people were a little bit, I'm not saying fatigue because we're used to watching NFL on Monday night, but there just wasn't a great awareness other than in the Alabama and Ohio and a few other places or in bigger cities that this game was even going on because the NFL just sucks the life out. I think this Monday night experiment needs to end. I think it's a bad night for a college football game. Saturday night, but you can't play it on the weekend because you have the NFL. So you either have Friday night, which is a bad television night,
what do you think about soccer's influence?
Well, I don't agree with that in the sense that last year the ratings were significantly higher. I don't think the soccer interest has zoomed so much in 1 year. Soccer is important. I'm not trying to be dismissive of it. I just think the college football playoff is a tiresome entity, and pundits have been warning about this for a long time, and this year it finally happened because you had two great brands. This was not like an Alabama-Clemson game where people said, I've already seen this game four times. I mean, Alabama and Ohio State is about as good as it gets. Interestingly, the Alabama-Notre Dame game on New Year's Day drew more fans. I'm really now of the opinion the college football season should end on New Year's Day. And because that is a celebration of college football. After that, you're squeezing it. You're slamming it into a slot that it just doesn't work. It just doesn't fit.
All right. Well, I'm glad to get some more perspective on it. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. I'm sure my bosses at ESPN don't agree. But that's where we are. Let's try to grab another call here before we run out of time. Teddy is up next. Hey, Teddy.
Hey, Paul.
What's up?
Paul, I was just going to call and congratulate Eli Gold and John Parker Wilson, on the commentating they done the other night because I had to listen to it on the radio. I couldn't watch it on TV, and it was fantastic. But I've got something else to say.
Okay.
When it comes to the closing ceremonies after the game, we was all flabbergasted here in my circle that Jones did not get the most valuable player.
Teddy, let me jump in. Devontae Smith played the best half in the history of football. It would have been the best game in the history of football. And I understand where you're coming from with Mac, but I would have voted for Devontae Smith, too. Anyway, we're out of time. We've had a very busy first 2 hours. Bruce Feldman joining us. We also had Mark Bryant Tyson, the grandson of the legendary coach Paul Bryant. We have a lot more to do. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.